Hey listeners, welcome to the Spoil Sports Podcast, a show that's not afraid to tell you that in The Simpsons, it turns out Maggie shot Mr. Burns. In each episode, we'll be discussing everything we did and didn't like about video games, films, and TV shows. I'm Dermot, one of your hosts, alongside Sean, and today we're joined by Josh Garrity to talk about Young Justice. If the name of the show didn't give it away, there will be spoilers ahead. Without further ado, here's the show.
This is your spoiler warning.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Spoil Sports Podcast. I am joined by my lovely host, co-host, I should say, Dermot Scannell.
Hello again.
And we have a returning guest. You might remember him from the episode where there might have been a lot of shouting. It was a well, that's what I've been told anyway. It was a Daredevils episode. We have Joshua Garrity back. How are you doing, Josh?
I'm good. Hello there. I'll be a lot more positive this time, so don't worry.
I mean, you can be negative if you wanted to. I'm just saying. You
know, I don't think there's much to be negative about with this one. thankfully,
we're going to see you in a completely different light. And today we are talking about the TV show Young Justice, and we'll be covering at least, you know, season one and season two, because unfortunately
that's all there is.
The third season was snatched out of everyone's hands that enjoyed it. Josh, let's just jump straight into, you know, the lack of season three. How have you taken that? Like, a lot of people have been pretty angry and up in arms about it. So what was it like for you?
I mean, I don't like it. Like, the lack of season three is a shame, because I think, you know, Young Justice was one of the best superhero shows ever in a lot of ways. And more than anything, I never want shows to go on forever and ever. Like, I think every show should come to an end. It's just the lack of closure that we have been robbed of. Yeah. That really, you know, gets to me. If it was just one more season, if we had one more season and it just gave us, you know, some proper closure with those characters, then I'd be happy. I wouldn't need anything else. But it's that lack of closure that annoys me most, I think.
So what was it about Young Justice that you enjoyed so much that one more season would have been, you know, perfect for you?
Well, I think what Young Justice was so great at was taking characters that nobody cared about at all, like Aqualad and Miss Martian and all of that lot, and then making them more compelling in a lot of ways than the classic DC heroes that we all know and love already. For example, I think Superboy is a more compelling character than Superman, at least his interpretation in Young Justice is. And I just would have liked to, you know, have that all of that stuff, all of that characterization, all of those character arcs that were put in place. I would like to have that stuff concluded in season three, basically.
Yeah. So from one Young Justice super fan to another, Dermot, what was it about the show?
I like that super fan thing.
I'm on form today. what was it about Young Justice that you enjoyed so much?
For me, I've always quite enjoyed the DC universe. I like the powers that they have, and they're larger than life in that sense. But there's probably one thing that would they feel inhuman, which kind of works well. Oh. But they feel a bit too larger than life sometimes. They're treated like gods, and I liked that the show was a lot of the same characters, as in, like, just their proteges that have similar powers, if not whatever. But they ended up taking them and basically just saying, okay, these are kids, these are young people who have these powers and who want to do good, and this is their story. And like Josh mentioned, it actually gives them characters. Some of them, like Aqualad, he mentioned, and Miss Martian. Before that, unless you were like a big fan of the comic books, you wouldn't have really known who they were. And I think this TV show does a fantastic job of giving everybody an arc. And what's good about it is, like a lot of shows, while it has its villain of the week sort of a thing, it does have that storyline that goes from kind of one side to the other, like all the way to the end of the season, and unfortunately, because there's only two, all the way through to two seasons, there's a big arc. And I like that all of the characters feed into that. It isn't just based on one character and then everyone just feeds into that. Everyone has their arc and they all go in the same kind of direction. I like that.
I was brought into Young Justice pretty late, into it, a good few years after it got cancelled, and Dermot sat me down to watch both of them. And the one thing that stood out differently to the Justice League and, you know, Marvel's own kind of TV shows is when you have a team together, usually it's just the team and they go off to do their own thing, whereas with Young Justice, because they're younger, there was more of a feeling of family and togetherness, and they were out there to help each other and not just, you know, overcome the foe. It was all about, you know, friendship, and that was pretty beautiful to see in Young Justice, because, you know, they spoke on a different level and it wasn't about, you know, trying to keep up with the adults, just trying to, you know, make sure that they can pull each other along. And that was cool, and that's what stood out for me. Josh, what would you say the major two differences between season one and season two? Because they weren't really the same, but, you know, the dynamic was certainly different.
I would say that season one was more of your traditional kind of, you know, threat of the week. There was an overarching threat throughout that season, but there was kind of a sense that each episode was self-contained, with little bits and pieces kind of following the characters from episode to episode. But it was a really great example of that. So although I'm saying that it's kind of following a well-established model, it was extremely well executed and did a fantastic job of getting you to know all of those characters. And they took some risks with their one-off episodes in season one. Failsafe, although it kind of has a sort of cop-out ending, was a really great dark episode that explored some territory that, you know, shows of this type never do. Whereas season two, I think, is a lot riskier. Some people don't like it because of that, but I think I really like season two because it did some things with the narrative that were really courageous. Having that whole conspiracy theory and not letting you know exactly what's going on. So, if you're listening to this, you should know, but just to catch everyone up, in season two, it's 5 years later, and the show doesn't actually give you any proper context for why all the characters are where they are until much later on in the season. It kind of just leaves why Aqualad is suddenly the bad guy and why all that stuff is going on. It just leaves that stuff to your imagination for a while before it reveals what's actually going on. And I thought that was immensely brave. And just that whole arc with the Reach and Black Beetle and Blue Beetle. I thought Blue Beetle was a great addition in season two. I thought all of that stuff was risky, but all of it paid off.
Yeah. As Dermot mentioned earlier, I took away that season one was about, you know, you had your villain of the week, whereas at least in season two, the whole invasion was, you know, this is one big story. Unfortunately, I preferred, you know, the season one, I liked it mixed up a bit, and I wasn't such a huge fan that, you know, all these episodes was leading to more or less one big ending, taking out, you know, the foe that was continuously throughout that whole season two. Like, maybe it's because I like a bit of variety. Like, you still get that in season two, but I was willing to kind of stick with it and learn each of the characters, learn all of their backstories, and not so much on the other side where it's all about the villains. And I would have said, if it wasn't the 5 years in the future and it continued, seeing the same team kind of progressing would have been a bit boring. So introducing a younger team was pretty cool, and seeing the others kind of, I'll call them a bit like alumni, just, you know, occasionally popping by and teaching, was pretty cool. Dermot, how did you find dynamic of the two seasons.
Like you've already mentioned, the season one did have that episode to episode story, and then you would have the mini stories in the middle. And season two was more one big long one. But what I liked about it was that it was balanced really well with the characters. So, like, the first season, it was basically around that core team with a few guest spots here and there. And then every so often, the actual Justice League themselves would appear. That was how the first season went. And you had those stories week on week. What I liked about the second one was the cast basically exploded. The amount of characters was huge. But the entire time, you knew who everyone was, you knew what their motivations were, where they were going, and you knew the overall story. And that's just down to brilliant writing, I think, on the part of the writers for the show. And I liked that the story was one story throughout the season, because they could tell a really good story that way. The one thing that I prefer it over what you mentioned, kind of you like the variety. The reason I liked the one story is because it allowed them to go to some places that Josh already mentioned, fairly risky kind of storylines that you wouldn't normally see, because they were telling that one story the whole time, and they could kind of skew off where they needed to. But I just liked that core story, and I thought they told the story very well.
Josh, the characters in Young Justice, they, you know, for me, I hadn't heard of a majority of them prior to them. How much knowledge of the, you know, Young Justice did you know of, and, you know, did it do a good fan service to you, or was it just kind of learning everyone from scratch and then kind of, you know, falling in love with their writing?
I mean, the show's greatest strength and its greatest weakness is people's unfamiliarity with these characters. So I didn't know any of these characters. I mean, I knew of them. Obviously, everyone knows Robin and Superboy. I'm sure most people know of, even if they haven't read any of his comic books. But, like, in terms of engagement, I hadn't really engaged with any of the source material that most of these characters are involved with. And for that reason, it was that reason why I put off watching the show for so long, because I was like, well, people are saying this is good, but I don't know if I really care about Aqualad and Miss Martian. And how wrong I was, because now these characters, or at least the characters depicted in this show, are amongst my absolute favourite depictions of any superhero characters. Miss Martian kind of stands out in particular because that character's arc completely subverts your expectations. When you're first introduced to her, her dialogue is noticeably different from all the other characters. She's, you know, making these cheesy lines and "Hello, Megan," like every time she makes a mistake, and you're like, this is really clashing with the overall tone of the show. I'm not sure I like this character. She seems really cheesy and silly. And at that point in the show as well, she's the only female character. So I'm thinking, wow, is this how this show's going to depict women? That's not great, until Artemis shows up and proves me wrong. But then you find out what's really going on with her, and how her behavior is dictated by this obsession with a fictional creation, and that she's trying to, you know, desperately hide the truth of who she is and what she really is. Like, all of that stuff was amazing. And then she ended up being my favorite character in the show. And then you have, like, Aqualad, who, I mean, you're taking a character who is the subordinate of Aquaman, who is already a joke in the DC universe. So already I'm thinking, what, how am I going to care about this guy? But this, like, he becomes a really compelling leader figure in season one, and then his moral conflict in season two is just as compelling. I had no idea who these characters are, but this show did a great job of making me fall in love with them.
Cool. Dermot, you knew probably a lot more DC. How many
of
the characters?
With you, not really. I was just going to say, of those characters, very similar to Josh, I knew of Robin, Kid Flash, and Speedy. I knew of those characters. I think I had seen once Aqualad. I'd never heard of Artemis. I'd never heard of Rocket. I'd never heard of Zatanna. All of those characters were new to me. So it basically, I don't know if this is how the writers had it, but it felt like a clean slate for them. They could do whatever, like within reason, they could do whatever they wanted with those characters. So they gave them these really compelling stories. Josh has already mentioned Miss Martian and Aqualad. I think Zatanna and her relationship with her father is really well done. I think that I really like what they did with Wally West and with Kid Flash. I really liked what they did with Speedy with the Red Arrow. I thought his storyline, obviously, it was like that was the key one in season one anyway. But I thought they gave every single character such a good arc to go on and really good dialogue. And I just thought it was really well written from the start.
When I heard about Young Justice, I thought it was one of those traditional, oh, you've got your normal heroes and here is their younger counterparts. It's not going to be as good. It's just going to be for kids. And jumping into it, knew none of the characters. Thought it was very brave to start a show with, you know, no one to really kind of say, oh, I have this baggage. I know what this character should be doing, whatever. And going in fresh and, you know, being as cool. I mean, you know, Robin is as cool in my eyes in Young Justice, as great as Batman, because, you know, he hasn't got any superpowers, just like Batman, but he knows how to use his brain, just like Batman. And the same goes for every other counterpart. If not, they have their own pros and cons. So I enjoyed the fact that I was learning along with everyone else as the audience, that we have no real baggage coming along and just seeing them coming from scratch. Now, I touched upon earlier just that it could have been for kids. I personally would say that this show maybe is more for the teen, maybe more for an adult as well, just because some of the subject matters in there. Like, was it Roy who was Red Arrow who lost his arm? And yes, that stuff like that is, you know, it's very high concept, and I could not imagine if I was younger trying to grasp why something like this would be, you know, be happening. Josh, who would you say the target audience was, and do you think they did a good job on having certain content, you know, aimed at that target audience?
I mean, the target audience is clearly that, you know, younger teenager, but, like, if something's well written, it doesn't really matter who the target audience is. It's still good. Pixar do this all the time. Like, clearly their stuff is designed so that kids can enjoy it, but it's so well written and so well put together, and the characters are so compelling that it doesn't really matter. Anyone can enjoy those movies.
I mean, people talk about the four quadrants of the audience, like you have the young people, male audience, female audience, and older people, and all of that. I honestly think this is one of those shows that could almost hit all of those, purely because, as Josh mentioned, the writing is as strong as it is. Like there's the kind of the crash bang wallop of the action, which is really well done. I especially liked it in season two. I thought the actual, just the action scenes were really well done, which isn't usually what you'd say in an animated movie or an animated TV show. You don't usually get that kind of the impact of the hits or anything like that, but I thought they did it really well with especially Nightwing. Then you have the actual story arcs, which would kind of hit everybody, and the way women are represented with the characters in there. Like, I really liked that episode where it's I can't even remember the bloody names of the Batgirl, Rocket, Wonder Girl, I think is her name.
Yep, Wonder Girl.
And who was the other one that was on that mission?
Oh, you're talking about the femme,
the all female. Like, yes. They even made a joke about it at the start, where, you know, Nightwing tries to say, and because the Queen Bee can can mind control men, then that's why you're going. And he would you have felt the same if it was an all male squad? Would you have felt you needed to justify that? And he's kind of going, okay, I'm not going to say anything.
Okay.
I just,
it's
love
so
the
true
way,
as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I love the way it's written. I think it appeals to a lot more people than just that teen audience. But yeah, I agree, that is probably where its focus is. But I do think it's a much wider spread.
Yeah.
Cool. Josh, you touched upon that Megan quickly became one of your favorite characters. Was there any other characters that stood out for you that was up there just as, you know, interesting and cool as Megan from either season?
I mean, Megan, for me, definitely has the most compelling arc, but every single member of the main cast, so that's Kid, Flash, Artemis, Robin, and Superboy, all of them, Aqualad, all of those guys have a really, really compelling arc. Aqualad, I like especially just because I just like him. Like that, it's less to do with a compelling arc and more just I was surprised how much I just liked his attitude towards things and his approach towards leadership and all of that. I was surprised how much I ended up liking a character with Aqua in front, you know, as their first part of their superhero name. I mean, I'm trying to think of a character I was less interested in. I can't really think of one. Superboy, I mean, I find Superboy irritating at certain points, but it felt very deliberate on the part of the writers. Like, those moments where he's being arrogant and what have you, like, they're setting him up to be humbled every single time. So, I still ended up liking Superboy as a character. I mean, you're asking me to pick out favourites, but this is a show where the characterization is really strong across the board, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dermot, did you have any standout characters that, you know, instant love?
For me, I think, like, I enjoyed all the characters, similar to Josh. Everyone had their moments. And similar to Josh, I liked Superboy as well, mostly because it was Nolan North delivering, you know, yeah, as he does with everything. But possibly my favorite in terms of how it fed in, because my favorite DC character is Batman, I kind of went straight to Robin, and I liked his kind of, he was the youngest member of this team the entire time, basically. Well, until season two, and then, yeah. But he was the youngest member, and he had those funny moments where he's talking about being overwhelmed and underwhelmed and why can't people just be whelmed, things like that that came up multiple times all the way through the two seasons. But what I liked was his stories, similar to the, you mentioned the that kind of dreamlike sequence that they have in the first season. I really liked that purely because, like you said, it dealt with some pretty dark and kind of extreme subjects, but in the end, it was like it was revealed to be a hallucination in the mind of Miss Martian and so on. But then you still have that impact afterwards. That the following episode is, the entire episode is basically based on, this is what impact this has had on the mindsets of these people. Yeah. And I liked Robin's one where he basically says, "I can't be Batman. I can't be the person to put the mission before everything else. I'm not strong enough. I can't do that." And I loved that. Like, it was just showed so much of the character. And I think, is it later in that season or earlier? I can't remember where it is in the time frame, where there's the meeting in Watchtower from the Justice League, and they're deciding on new members to join the team. I think it's towards the end of the season. And Batman is talking about, someone is talking about maturity versus, because, you know, Connor Kent is like 1 year old in the show because he's a clone, but does that really determine maturity? And they get on to talking about Robin, and I loved Batman's comment about, it was actually when they're talking about Captain Marvel and the fact that he's only a 12-year-old boy in real life. And because of that, they're wondering, should he still be in the team? And Batman says he knew all along, and Wonder Woman isn't very surprised because Robin was in, you know, became a superhero at like 12. And she makes the point, like, that Batman went out of his way to make sure that Robin became Robin so that he could get justice for his family's death. And she asked him why, so he could turn out like you. And I loved his comment where he said no, so that he wouldn't. Basically saying that he didn't want Robin to become kind of obsessed with crime like he has. The reason Batman is obsessed, and it's the root of his character, is because his parents were killed by Joe Chill. Just this no-name, random kind of guy in the street who was just desperate. And Joe Chill ended up getting killed by some mob boss, I can't remember, Falcone, I think. And because of that, Bruce never got his justice. That was before Joe Chill got to go to prison or whatever. He never got that kind of feeling that his parents had been, you know, they had gotten justice. So because of that, that kind of drove him to find justice for everyone else. And that's what led him to become Batman. And I liked that you're basically getting Robin's character and Batman's character into why Robin's story is going the way it is. It's really in-depth if you think about it. And the show does a fantastic job of it.
That's pretty cool. I
talked too long there.
I lean towards characters in, you know, superhero teams that actually don't have any special abilities because they have a lot more to kind of prove and usually stand out differently. So my character would, you know, my favorite would be Artemis, because Batman would be, you know, the equivalent in Justice League, and technically Hawkeye if you're talking about the Avengers. You know, there's humans that are just have to be more skillful, really, and they end up being, you know, a big pivotal moment in most cases. So, you know, in season two with the whole Artemis going undercover, you know, and the whole Tigress section, it was just brilliantly executed. I could talk for days about how, you know, the underdog, even though she's in the underdog, can still go toe to toe with some of these villains. But to wrap up, because we've had quite a long talk already, we're gonna talk about our favorite moments, any moment that we had in the show. So Josh, do you have anything that kind of stands out as your go-to moment that makes you, you know, go, wow, this was something that happened in Justice League? I mean, sorry, this was a thing that happened in Young Justice.
I love the kind of therapy sessions with Black Canary after the failsafe episode. We've already mentioned Robin kind of saying, like, I don't want to be Batman now because of that experience. But another one that really got to me was Superboy admitting, I actually was happy. Like, that was the first moment where in my life where I felt important and worthwhile. And I hate to admit, but during that tragedy, I felt happy. And how do I admit that to all my friends? And, like, how do I deal with that? That was, like, a really, like, wow, that made that character so much more interesting. It added layers to him without making him seem like evil or anything like that, but it painted his kind of worldview in a very different way. And then the other moment, just because it's so gut-wrenching and actually kind of tear-jerking, is Kid Flash's death.
At you the stole end of mine.
Yeah. And it's the whole sequence, the initial kind of having all the flashes running together and the music that's playing in the background, and then, you know, watching him fade away. But then, like, Flash having to tell Artemis what happened and her reaction to that is gut-wrenching. It was a really powerful moment.
And then you see her going to Kid Flash's parents' house, and it's that is a gut punch right at the end of the show. That was worse than realizing there's no season three. It was like, you can't do that. You can't kill one of the characters, especially one that's been there from the very start. I thought that was very well done, and that was the moment I was going to suggest as well. It makes the ending where everyone is, you know, they save the world and all that. It gives you that. It's something that Joss Whedon talks about in his Avengers movies, and it's why certain characters die in those movies. It's a war. It's a war movie. When there's no consequences of war shown, it cheapens it. And I think the writers in Young Justice, they delivered a gut punch, but they needed to do that to kind of show that these events have a cost. And it kind of makes it a bit more real. And I really liked that. I liked what they did. I didn't like they did it to bloody Kid Flash. But anyway, it doesn't matter. That was a good moment.
My moment isn't probably not as emotional. But, you know, towards the end when the Young Justice are with their, you know, their older counterpart. And there's that lovely moment when they're all getting hugs and stuff. And then you just got Batman that just kind of, you know,
good job, team.
And there's no contact between him and Robin. Just like, because I'm Batman, I can be hard as nails. Everyone else is hugging, and then he's just like, yeah, Robin, yeah, it's fine. You done good. And we all need that pat on the back, but come on, they've done
he's
so
like
much.
He's like Dr. Cox in Scrubs or something.
Just a good pat on the back and a handshake. But that's cool. But yeah, that wraps up our Young Justice episode. And I doubt there's probably going to be a season three because
so sad.
It needs to be one of those things that needs to come back. And it's, you know, it's high up there on demand on lists and stuff.
I'll put it this way. I just hope that DC, Marvel, everyone looks at that show, looks at what it did, and kind of goes, okay, when we're going to be writing future children's TV shows, children's TV shows is a bit of a pejorative in that sense, but I mean it in the best way possible. When we're going to be writing those shows, how about we just take a few lessons from that? Treat our audience with respect and give our characters something to do. If they can do that, I hope that's the legacy of the show.
So, Josh, would you recommend Young Justice to anyone else?
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. I think Young Justice is easily one of the best superhero shows ever aired on TV. It's also easily one of the best kind of animated shows from the West to ever air on TV. I mean, for me, it's second only to the Legend of Korra, Avatar TV shows in terms of Western televised animation. It's just fantastic.
Cool. Well, I need to get onto that as well as a recommendation. But yeah, you've heard it from Joshua Garrity there. Josh, just to wrap up, how can anyone find you on social networking?
Okay, well, you can find me at Combine Hunter on Twitter. And you can also follow my video game podcast, at Kaelin Rintz, where we take a game or a series of games and dissect it and discuss it in detail.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Josh.
No problem.
Cheers, Josh.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Spoil Sports Podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please email us at spoilsportspodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sean Labode, and Dyrmid is at Dyrmid_S. If you like what you've heard, click the subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.